Hi, everybody. Today is Thursday, July 17th, 2025, and our friend Andre Martianov is back with us. Welcome back, Andre.
My pleasure. Anytime.
Andre, I want to start with what Maria Zakharova said about the countries who are helping Ukrainian to strike deep into the Russian soil. And she said that if they do that, we're going to hit the targets in those countries. What is the news? What is the latest news coming out of the West that they're somehow concerned about Ukraine being willing to strike deep into the Russian soil?
Oh, it's an old story. It's the story which started practically from the start of the special military operation. And yeah, I remember this first, there was this holy attackams, holy HIMARS and things of this nature. So they then removed this limitation on attackams, you know, that it can strike so-called deep. And well, they do strike Russian cities, no doubt about it. So this whole story that, oh my God, we have to give them JASMs, you know, joint standoff munition. And it's essentially a cruise missile with a rather moderate to small size warhead, which has the range of about 9. The original have the very short range, 300 kilometers. The extended range, which are the latest versions, are 900 kilometers. So you can stick them on the F-16, and you can stick it on F-18, for example. But again, you need to still reach some kind of the range or, you know, the edge, so to speak, where you do the launch. You launch the missile. And the question is not about deep into Russia. They are already been doing this for a while. You know, they're launching drones. There are all kinds of the sabotage operations like this. No, it's about striking Moscow. Okay. So, okay. What else they can do? Well, first, JASM needs to be launched from their aircraft. Well, they cannot really kind of reach this range without, or the launch area without essentially being detected, because you need to pop up at the special elevation, which will be detected, and then, well, you will be shut down. So, yeah, it's a lot of it is PR. But, yeah, theoretically, they talk about it. There's a company in the United States which says, okay, we can do the JASMs on some kind of ground launcher. Sure. But before you do this, you need to stick the boost engine to this JASM because it's an air launch missile. I mean, they also go around with this Typhoon thing, you know, which launches slams. Sure, let them try. And yeah, the only thing is new here, Zakharov is correct, yeah. So you want to launch, you know, and we're going to strike your countries, essentially, you know, whoever is going to be doing whatever the nasty they want to do. So, but specifically, it's nothing new. It really doesn't change anything, the outcome or what have you. So, and Trump is desperate with all kinds of the, which typical Trump's BS. So, yeah. That's another kind of fodder for the media, you know, to discuss. But reality is, it's not easily done. But if it's done, well, you know what? Now, obviously, you can never guarantee against the leaker, which is the leaker is there some kind of the munition which leaks through your air defense. But they have to understand, which already have been stated by me on a number of occasions, just the central industrial area of that time Soviet Union, that time. It's Moscow and central area with all kinds of cities, you know, around it. And so it could absorb there and basically shut down, mitigate the salvo of up to 1,300 cruise missiles in single salvo. So, I mean, you would get some, you know, liquor here and there, but they wouldn't change the outcome. It would be shut down. Today, it's probably even more reliable. But they will try probably because, well, that's what they are desperate. And the United States have been humiliated militarily. And from what I observed for the last couple of weeks, they are getting absolutely unhinged because they understood they are not that good. American army is not that good. American weapons are just basically overpriced junk. And you read the publications and everything, they, some of them recognize now that they never were that good. And the only thing they can do is just, you know, like hiding behind the backs of cannon fodder in Ukraine just to try to harm Russia. So they will fail again, you know, so they may succeed, you know, killing civilians. That's what NATO is good at, you know. So, but other than that, yeah.
Germany is asking for Tomahawks and Typhoon type missiles, and we know that Typhoon is 2,000 kilometers. Tomahawk.
Typhoon is not missile. A Typhoon is the system where they stick the clam, the Tomahawk land attack missile, which is the missile is designed primarily to hit the ground targets. So they, what they do, and this is not the new one. This whole thing was also trying to be developed during Reagan years. You stick it into some kind of launcher, this clam, for example, the clam like which is carried by the Virginia class or the Ohio class, converted Ohio class SSGNs. So yeah, you stick it into some kind of launcher and launch it. Yeah, it's about 2,000 kilometers. In reality, slightly less, but yeah, it's pretty long range. So yeah, that's what they're talking about. Well, good luck with that. I mean, so what can I say? If they want to strike Russia, well, Berlin probably overlived it or expired, you know, there. So they will turn it into their, you know, parking lot, and that will be it for Germany.
Why does Donald Trump need to sell them to Germany? As I know, they were somehow hesitant during the Biden administration about sending these long-range missiles, long-range weapons to Germany. But right now, with the rhetoric in Washington that they want to put an end to the conflict, but why does Trump need to send them to Germany? Is that a long-term strategy on their part? Are they trying to irritate Russia as much as possible?
Oh, it's not irritating Russia, and there's no strategy. The Pentagon and Washington, D.C. doesn't do strategy. They are incompetent. Most of people who are in power and influence in Washington are incompetent, including American generals and admirals. These are people who are good only at, you know, promoting themselves. Same goes for Trump, but he is an extreme case of narcissist, and he's simply frustrated, and he's not competent man. He's highly uncultured, absolutely non-read. I mean, he never read a book in his life, and somebody wrote this book, The Art of a Deal, for him. So he is, yeah, real estate shyster. What do you expect from the guy? And he is constantly under the influence of all kinds of the Israeli lobby, APAC, you know, and he's a Zionist essentially himself. So the guy is completely lost. And I will be talking about this tomorrow in my video. In fact, if you can go and listen to excellent conversation between Colonel Douglas McGregor and Kim Everson yesterday. Oh, yeah, he just comes out and says pretty much what I've been saying for the last decade plus, that, yeah, they don't do strategy. They don't understand basic things. They just absolutely incompetent. And Trump is constantly under all kinds of influences as a man with no real serious life experiences, except for, you know, being fornicating and spreading, you know, his seed all around and, you know, having fun with whatever, you know. So I'm not going to go there, you know, with this idiotic Epstein files, but yeah, let others deal with this. But we already know the pretty much everything we need to know about it. So what do you expect from this guy? Nothing. He was born with a silver spoon. Only imbeciles believe that he somehow has talents to develop anything. He's the son of a millionaire, for crying out loud. He inherited a truckload of the, you know, money, connections, and everything. So, and you think that this guy who once said that, oh, my boring school, military boring school for boys, is everything is enough for me to know the military. Okay. So there you go. You have the nincompoop, essentially, you know, a moron, you know, in White House who doesn't understand the first thing about pretty much anything. And I've been on the record, and Colonel McGregor yesterday said pretty much the same. The only thing that they're good at is how to be elected. and stay elected, period. They have no knowledge of military, no knowledge of politics, no knowledge of applied geopolitics. They have no knowledge of their, well, you look at the American military education, it is a national shame, actually, you know? So, but yeah, that's, the, then everybody said, oh yeah, we're the best army in the world. With generals like this, boy, you who never won anything in their life, you know? So, okay, what can I say? And that's what we have. And that is why, plus, yes, I have to state it, and I am stating this for the last year and a half at least, there is an acute case, acute of insufferable professional jealousy and envy on the part of the American military. What they are observing now and how it is done. It is so beyond their reach. Yeah, all those, you know what, command staff colleges or general staff colleges, they wouldn't even pass the entrance exam to the actually any kind of the war colleges in Russia, let alone Academy of the General Staff. You have to take serious entrance exams to get there. So, and you talk about these people who are, oh yeah, we learned a couple things, couple tactical tricks, and then suddenly we have to go out and see how we can fight with these guys. At least, the only positive thing, which is a really important shift, mental shift in the American military, for example, in the field manuals, which is the obviously Army doctrinal publication, ADP, for example, in FM 4-0, which is the sustainment operations, they admit that, oh, in the war with the peer, and they begin to list there, which I will be talking about tomorrow. They begin to list those conditions under which they theoretically can fight. They can't, it's just out of question, but at least they now admit that there are peers there. Well, in reality, is United States Army today for Russians is near peer. And the only danger of the United States is that it's inherently historically nuclear biased. It is the only nation which used nuclear bombs for the political purposes, not for to win the war. And so, yeah, other than that, sure. I mean, they all bloviate, all those American generals, acting and retired. They go around, parade themselves as clowns who evidently have no clue about modern operations, which they don't. They do not understand the history, military history, because basically everything what has been taught in the United States, in the military academies, with exception of the Naval Academy, is basically confabulated fairy tales. That's what it is, you know? And then suddenly you have those people which are the product of the system and the product of the Washington, D.C., and they come out and they observe reality, and some of them, they have cognitive dissonance, which brings about serious mental problems and psychological problems. They cannot cope. And that's what we have. And especially for the last couple of weeks, this rhetoric is completely unhinged. So, well, yeah, then Zakharova says, yeah, so, yeah, you want to try? Try. Well, we'll just, again, if Europeans try, I mean, there are a number of the stones which need to be rearranged in Europe anyway, you know, so, and that's what's going to happen.
I think, Andrei, what Russia is dealing with is, it doesn't matter how skillful you are in the way that you're driving your car, it seems that the other cars on the road, they don't consider the law of transportation. That's why Russia needs to consider what's going on with the West. And here is, it seems that they're not predictable. I think the problem is that you don't know what they're going to do in next step and how stupid that move going to be. It doesn't matter, because in their mind it makes sense. And here is what the American General Christopher Donahue.
Well, Jesus, man.
He said he noted that Kaliningrad, Russia, mm-hmm. is roughly 47 miles wide and surrounded by NATO on all sides, and the army and its alliance now have the capabilities to take down from the ground in a time frame that is unheard of. And you see the mindset of these people, how they
it's
dangerous that when you hear that and you see these people could be in charge of some sort of operation against you.
No, I mean, obviously he doesn't know the modern combined arms operations. No American general, no American serviceman knows it. They do not understand it. They cannot. American operation planning is laughable. It's conducted by clowns, you know, basically. So you saw yourself what is happening with the special military operation, and only imbeciles believe that Russia fights only the armed forces of Ukraine or whatever is left of them. So no, I mean, he is bloviating, he's bragging, he won't be allowed to command the brigade or battalion even in Russian army. He doesn't understand what modern combined arms operations are, but in the end, if he thinks that he can take Kaliningrad, well, Russians will take Washington. I mean, they will just turn it into the parking lot. So those people, they are not professionals. And yeah, the guy commanded 82nd, whatever, 101st divisions, you know. And yeah, we saw how it performed in Afghanistan, all of it. Didn't we? And the question was not just because Biden gave the order and withdraw. They already lost it by 2006, as famous Washington files basically demonstrate, you know, these famous letters and communications they released about what, 5-6 years ago. So it's bloviation, it's there, he's butthurt, sore loser. He understands that the moment, again, and that's what I'm going to be talking about. United States is incapable. Let's imagine that he tries to take Kaliningrad. Well, first, Kaliningrad is staffed now with essentially one combined arms army, if he doesn't understand what it means. And then, of course, the pivot of the all-American doctrinal, military doctrinal thing is there used to be long-range fires. United States Army is not even in the same league as Russian armed forces in terms of long-range fires. They're simply outgunned, outmatched, and outranged, sometimes by hundreds of kilometers. So, and if he thinks that Russians don't have such like constellation, or they don't have C4 ISR, which is actually, in terms of C4, is the best in the world. I mean, I have a bridge to sell him, but yeah, this is the guy who basically just, you know, have the, you know, wide mouth, so to speak. And in terms of professional things, yeah, people, I know Russians already discussed it today in the morning, they laugh at him, you know, so they laugh at the US Army. So if he thinks that he can sustain losing one brigade a day completely, KIAs, sure. The problem is United States Army is incapable of sustaining operations because this is a serious, serious matter. And that's the whole point. But evidently, Mr. Donahue doesn't know that. I mean, he thinks that United States being not produced and having no air defense and having no ability to stop anything, ranging from Iskanders to Zircons. I mean, hello, what can I say? I mean, let him try, see what happens. But then again, he should understand. If he doesn't, then yeah, he's a moron. But he should understand. Kaliningrad is Russian territory. If he wants to attack Russia, Russia gonna wipe the United States off the face of the earth, and that will be it. And he better understand this, but many people don't in Washington, D.C. because they are incompetent. I cannot hear you.
In terms of the talks between Donald Trump and NATO Secretary General in the meeting, that he said that they're going to send weapons, that Europeans are buying weapons from the United States, but how much of these weapons are going to be delivered to Europeans? I think that would be important to know, and what type of weapons they're going to send to Europe. And do you see the capability of the United States producing those arms, or they're just talking about it?
No, I mean, United States tried to ramp up the production, for example, of the absolutely useless Patriot Pac 3. They were producing 1-2 a year. Now they want to produce, and some will say that 3-5 a year. Well, it doesn't matter. They will be annihilated. Just more payments for the guys, Russian guys, who have mortgage to pay. And, you know, Patriot, I don't remember what is the bonus for eliminating it. Well, if they don't understand, just to give you an example to have the idea what it is. Financial Times stated that Russians produced 13,000 missiles, okay? I'll give you a hint. Well, not a hint, I'll take it there. Well, this Financial Times is a bunch of cretins from the United Kingdom. No, I mean, they lowered this number many, many times. So it's not 13,000, it's way more than that, okay? And this is missiles only. Now, if you go and look attentively at what Russia produces in terms of drones, and I'm talking about geraniums with a long range, 600 a day. 600 a day.
Wow.
So, then, of course, we have other types of the munitions. The United States is not even in the same league, in the same galaxy to produce anything. That's what I'm talking about. Sustainment operations and strategy. You cannot produce things apart from them being really bad. American weapons are expensive, overpriced, and it sucked for the most part. They still can kill, make no mistake. But the point is they are not designed for the war of the 21st century. United States cannot produce enough weapons to fight to sustain operations for more than probably 2 weeks. But many American generals before, they already stated in like 2023 that we wouldn't do much better than Ukrainians if we would fight the real war. And they were writing it, and it was written for the not general public, not our hoi polloi kind of guys. No, it was stated and written this professional, some of the professional publications that, about a couple of weeks after that, United States will run out of the any kind of the high precision and smart munitions and long range fires. And that will be it. So if they want to fight like this, sure. But the point is, even if United States tries to ramp it up, there are no resources. And resources are not just money. That's the whole point. Money actually is the important, very important thing, but secondary to the resources, especially human resources, ability to provide cutting edge R&D, ability to provide the qualified workforce, and scale up, the production. They can't, because the issue is much deeper even than that. They do not think as military professionals. They know only political thing, and I can quote myself, Colonel McGregor, Daniel Davis, Larry Johnson, Scott Ritter. The only thing they know, including those generals, is either how to get elected or how to end up on the board of some corporation to make money. They love their whatever sports cars. They dream about playing golf in some upscale club and smoking cigar and drinking scotch, expensive one, and pretend that they matter. They don't. I mean, most of them are, empty suits, hollowed out people without real serious education. Most importantly, Washington, D.C. is not culture. You have people which are completely corrupted by the all kinds of lobbies, but primarily by the Israeli lobby. They have no courage, no humanity, no human integrity. Look at this. You have the exhibit A of those people, Lindsey Graham. Now we have Mr. Trump. He is an exhibit A. He's, he is that proverbial Mencken's moron who adorned the White House finally. So, and what do you expect? And you look at the whole world, forget about just global South. They look at this, they scratch their head. We're looking at the idiocracy unfolding, after famous movie by obviously Mike Judge, which is the genius movie, We have the idiocracy unfolding in front of our eyes. We have the complete loss of expertise practically across the board. There are some islands of expertise, remaining in the United States. But this is the result of completely financializing the country, starting from Reagan years, and turning it into the nothing more but the, one big laundromat and whatever, Starbucks. That's it. You have the literally people with no education. Their education in the most, not all, I want to make sure. Not all, but most of those so-called humanities programs in Stanford or Harvard or Yale, there was this Ivy League thing and like this, or government programs of studying government and strategy in some Georgetown. It's all crap. It's all fraud. It's academic fraud. There are a bunch of morons with a PhD teach other, they don't teach them. They brainwash. And as a result, you have the catastrophe, especially in the American governance. It's militarily impotent, with the exception of the nuclear deterrent. It cannot run itself properly, utterly corrupt, basically capital of the country, corrupt and war criminal media, who always, I'm talking about establishment media. That's the result we arrived to. I remember this country for more than 30 years. It wasn't like that. And it accelerated precisely, during Obama. Well, it's accelerated during Bush and, after 9/11. And now the country is pretty much ran into the ground, and we look at this, horrible barren space. It's unbelievable. It is unbelievable.
Andre, if you were to mention the main reason that Donald Trump was not capable of doing anything in the case of Ukraine, do you believe that it was because of the military-industrial complex, because of the ideology in Washington, those people who are still in charge? Doesn't matter if Donald Trump is the president or not. If Joe Biden, Donald Trump, doesn't matter for them. How do you see who has the upper hand, the ideology or the military-industrial complex? Or there is some sort of mixture?
Israeli first. So United States is a Slav beach of Tel Aviv. We know that. It's basically extension. The U.S. Congress is the extension of the Knesset. Actually, President of the United States cannot control a thing unless he is, just like Donald Trump, a devout Zionist. It is controlled from Israel. So, and U.S. Congress, most of them do not serve American people; they serve Israel. But then, of course, there's military-industrial complex, a bunch of those fat cats, who believe that because they beat the crap out of the, third-rate, semi-literate Saddam's army, they are such a big, haunches. So it's a mix of this and that, greed, utter corruption, loss of any humanity. This is greed. You can say that it's a mix. What is the proportion of it? But in the end, if you are good, you are president, serious president, you still can do a lot about it. The problem is, as I already stated, in Trump, albeit we had that. You see, that's the funny thing. Many people do not understand. They say start comparing Biden to Trump. There is no comparing of Trump to Biden. Biden had no agency. He was a senile, demented man who had the, his wife's and Blinken's and Sullivan's heads up his ass, and he was doing things which, the whole world was like, are you kidding me? So in this case, there's no comparison. Trump does have agency. It's just that he's a moron because of that. And so he will fall to the spell of those people, and he wants to be a tough guy. He is a coward. We know now, that he is a coward, and he is a narcissist, and extreme narcissism is just basically bordering on the mental disorder. And when you look attentively at the main properties, psychological properties of the narcissism and those traits which they exhibit, it's psychology and psychiatry. And one of them, critical of them, they create their own world, alternative universe, because they cannot take any kind of the rejection or understanding of the sense of being, just what Trump wanted. He wanted to, be a tough guy who, controls the universe. So he lives in an alternative universe. And if I am some really sneaky, shrewd executive from Raytheon or something like that, especially if I went through, military education and some military experiences, I can figure it out immediately. Well, we figured it out, how to manipulate the guy. That's simple like that. Sing the praise to this guy and then push your agenda on him. And guess what? He will do it because it's not about any kind of the real policies. First, they cannot deliver policies. They cannot develop policies, let alone serious strategy. And so as a result, we have that. So the guy will continue to run this until the country is completely destroyed and the United States is being destroyed as we speak right now. It is being destroyed because actually he betrayed MAGA. So, but again, I leave this Epstein files to other pundits, so to speak, who understand the legalistic part of it much better than me. So, but the point is, look at this. The whole world laughs at the United States. Again, you have to be a complete moron and have no freaking principles or anything to get your armed forces, humiliated as they are, and parade them in the most humiliating fashion in the front of the world, after Moscow parade. I mean, are you kidding me? It's like you look at Ferrari, then somebody comes, some incredible Ferrari, expensive and shiny and red and all that, and somebody gets into the rotten, you know, old Volkswagen, which can barely drive, say, oh, look at this, I have this thing, you have nothing on me. That is because he lives in the alternative universe. He doesn't understand right from wrong. He doesn't understand the comparisons. He doesn't understand scales. And again, it's not just Trump. It's the whole thing. And some people who are in this administration, maybe they understand a thing or two about what we have in terms of international relations. They may try to convince him to not to be that stupid, but they will have no chance because they will not be able to break through this bubble until, I don't know, I mean, the moron will start World War III. I don't think he will, but I mean, he could, because he doesn't understand the first thing about military, about strategy, about the balance of power. Fact is, a balance of power and correlations of forces and means also is the science which Pentagon and US military academies and war colleges do not understand. They have no clue about it.
Andrei, we know that Germany, mostly these weapons that Europe is buying from the United States, Germany is paying a lot in this sort of trade between the United States and Europe. And the other country is the United Kingdom. France, so far, they're talking about they don't have the budget to go in that direction. But when it comes here, today we've heard that Germany and the United Kingdom, they have signed a military pact in which they are designated, they are somehow considering Russia as a strategic threat to them.
Yeah.
And so do they have, when it comes to the capabilities of these two countries combined, do they have, what do they produce in terms of weapons? What do they need to import from the United States? Is that everything they have to import from
practically the United everything? States? Practically everything. That was the plan, to make money for American military industrial complex. Let's create those morons from Europe, and they are morons, brainwashed completely, and make them buy our weapons that will produce somehow reindustrialization effect on the United States. In some sense, they achieved it. But the point is, Germany can produce like two tanks a year, you know, combined European part of NATO, all European NATO, and remove United States, because United States does not produce main battle tanks anymore. It doesn't have the capability. It can modernize what's remaining to a certain, you know, degree, but that's it. So Europe combined can produce 40 tanks a year. They can ramp it up to 45 a year, maybe. United Kingdom, it has a little bit of the sum of the naval, shipbuilding capabilities left. British weapon systems are a joke, from Challenger tank, especially when you see the marbleization of its turret, which tells you that actually this famed proverbial Chobham armor is basically fraud. I mean, the thing just explodes, you know, so it's garbage, okay, let's put it this way. And it's a very funny tank with the rifled barrel, so you have to have a very special ammo to it. Leopards, they burned very well everywhere, you know, where they went, and it's absolutely not what was obviously advertised. So basically, you have to understand, it's all about marketing. They produce weapon systems which seldom work properly, okay? I'm not talking about the maintenance in the field and sustainment. So Europe has no capability to conduct serious military operations. What it can do, it can whip up those bunch of the hoi polloi from Germany, from low countries in United Kingdom that the Russians somehow want to come to them and, I don't know, clean the garbage after them on their streets and eradicate urine smell in Paris, or I don't know, so Russians do not want to do it. Let Europe basically live in the fields, and it will continue to deteriorate, but United States will continue to sell to them basically the overpriced American military junk. As I already stated, and I give this example constantly, proud Spain, you know, Alvaro de Bazan, our shipbuilding, you know, capability, we can build those frigates. Okay, Alvaro de Bazan frigate, that's fine. It's frigate, it's fine. What it consists of? Oh, there is a hull. We produce the hull. Okay, what is their main air defense complex and main radar there? Oh, it is Aegis. Spy 1D, the modification from Raytheon, you know, Lockheed Martin, everything you look at. Oh, what is the sonar sweep? Oh, it's American, Raytheon. Okay, what is the launchers? Oh, MK-41, well, yes, again, you know. So what is Spanish in it? Oh, we have this thing in there, you know, which is Spanish. It's all American. They, even independent France, you know, oh, yeah, we're French. Well, yeah, they produce like, oh, my God, 10 Rafales a year or something like that. So look at this. What do they have in terms of their early warning system? Oh, yeah, those E3 Sentry AVACs. What are they? Oh, yeah, they're produced by Boeing. I'm sorry. So, and you look at this. It's just, they don't have any space capability. France, through the Ariane program, maybe they will launch 3 satellites by the 2026 of the early warning system against their, you know, what missile attack. I'm talking about ballistic missile. Really? So, dudes, do you know what is in Russian is called Esperian and or Sbirs in the United States? Do they even understand what it means? What kind of technological capability it requires? United States still retains a significant technological capability, obviously, especially in terms of space. And American, especially unmanned space program, is magnificent. Make no mistake. So, but yeah, they're not even in the same league, okay? So whatever they will try to do, they have no resources to do it. Can you imagine asking Germany now to produce single nuclear power submarine, which is a rival to, let's say, Yasin class SSJN, I mean, nuclear power submarine of Russia, or Virginia class for that matter? German economy bottom will fall off, okay? And there will be the new Weimar is coming anyway, it's partially already there, but they will be standing in the, you know, what lines in the soup kitchens just to produce that, to develop and produce that. They simply do not have this ability. The only country which has ability, but it's still, its nuclear deterrent is minuscule, is France. It has 4 Latrun Fan nuclear powered strategic missile submarines. They are good submarines. They have a very decent missile, ballistic missile. But then again, even modern ballistic missiles is technology. You want the missiles which can fly at the suppressed ballistic trajectory and to release in the basically, you know what, in the book here of the hypersonic maneuvering vehicles which fly at Mach 27. Russians have it. Nobody else does. And so that's what I'm talking about. So if they want to try, they sure can. But Europe's fate is sealed. It's over for Europe. And the point is that United States wants to eat too. You know, I am on record for many years, for second decade. United States wants to eat too. And as such, they don't care, as they shouldn't, you know, about all this phony baloney, you know, ideology about, oh, yeah, combined West. Europe must be eaten. And it is happening right this moment. And they, you know, we can sit and hear why they allow to do this to themselves and discuss it, but it's too late anyway, you know.
Andre, CNN reported that Russia may soon launch a large-scale offensive, possibly involving up to 160,000 already positioned near the front line. What's your take on that? Are we going to see an offensive that we haven't seen before in such a, I would say, more than 10 months that we haven't seen? If they do it, it's going to be huge.
Possible, but why? What is the point of this offensive? Can you explain to me? To take what? Russians do not want to govern this basically crap hole, which is there. They call Ukraine country 404, you know, like in the computer, you're not found for a reason. I mean, why do you want those 15 million fanatics, you know? So, and especially Western Ukraine, I mean, so I don't know. Russians are in it to kill off any sperm bank, which will be remaining. Of the whatever it will be called Ukraine, and that it will never recover and present any more threat to Russia. And so as the result, why would you know Russians move every day? New hamlets, new towns are taken. So Konstantinovka and Pokrovsk are already in the operational envelopment. So yeah, they may, it depends. But again, I cannot sit here, unlike CNN, which doesn't have any serious military experts there, even if those experts are from Pentagon. They are not no experts. But obviously, I don't have access to the Russian general staff, to the meetings of the Russian Security Council. I wish I was a fly on the wall for 30 minutes there, but I don't. So for me, it will be pure speculation on this matter, and I hate speculation. And so... maybe, but they started with laughable number 30,000, which is essentially, you know, 2.5 divisions or 3 divisions of the paratroop variety. Or now they have it 60,000. Okay, there are 750,000 of Russian troops at the front line. So people do not understand the scale of this thing. So who knows? You know, and possible, but why? Why would you? And I will be talking about this. Russians saved the lives of their soldiers. Today, there was an exchange between Ukraine and Russia of bodies. Russians returned 1,000 bodies. Ukraine returned 19. So does it tell you anything? Oh, you know what correlation is. Oh, you are an engineer. They taught you into the probability theory, you know, what, and the statistics, what correlation is. You know, it's a very high correlation. And so, well, such point that New York Times, which is their book criminal, you know, sewer, you know, they're but they say that Russians are now killing their POWs, Ukrainian POWs, to create impression that their numbers are such, a correlation of those numbers is so dramatic. Well, there are no people in New York Times who have any honor or integrity. They're just, but truth is, yeah, Russians gave them 1,000 bodies. 19,000 bodies, 19 bodies of Russian soldiers have been returned. In some sectors, the kill ratio reaches 1 to 20. What we're looking at, that what many people do not understand the scale of thing, it is absolute meat grinder. It's just, and if you take a look, and that will be in my video tomorrow, how they do their mobilization. Now Ukrainians are giving to Russian troops, and this is not a legend. There are videos. They give them the coordinates, because obviously those cowards from the TCK, which is the centers for recruiting people, they give them actually the coordinates where those people sit. And guess what? Russians hit them. So that kills what? That kills obviously the personnel of those creeps who, well, basically dealing now in with kidnapping of people from the streets. It kills their computer files. It kills, well, so suddenly this new thing is ongoing, because some Ukrainians begin to, whatever's left of them, begin to wake up to the reality that they will be also, which is called busified, you know, from the word is throwing you into the bus, which is their van. So yeah, they give the coordinates. Russians blow up those things to smithereens, and many people actually applaud that. So, well, you want to live, all right? I mean, This is the main danger, a main threat to you, which will go and recruit, quote unquote, you. They do kidnap people. Now they kidnap people from their flats, apartment blocks, and so on. Okay, so Russians say, okay, that's fine. We'll blow this up. 600 geraniums a day. Not big.
Andrei, it's somehow amazing how Zelensky has destroyed everything. Everything. He had the opportunity to go in a better direction, but he decided to destroy everything. And these people are going to hit back. And these people, he's just...
No, not Ukrainians. They will, for example, if those people will not rise. No. You need to understand that you have to give one thing to the credit of those creeps like Nuland. And all those people, they recognize the nature of the Ukrainian nation. The nature of the Ukrainian nations have been described beautifully by Nikolai Gogol in his immortal Taras Bulba. It's classic, you know, even the Hollywood made the movie, you know, but so it's like, no, the treason, selling out, betraying is the kind of, that's what marks the existence of the Ukrainian nation. It was in the Soviet Union when they were given actually proper, well, how to say it, grossly exaggerated geographic terms, where, so to speak, you know, land, if you wish, location. But reality is what is Ukraine today? You saw yourself. They worship a Bandera. They worship SS. They worship genocide. So, hey, good for U.S. State Department and CIA. That's their people. That's the kind of people who work there too. You know, they have, as I already stated, no honor, no integrity. I mean, look at the United States now. Nobody, except for the alternative media, raises voices. There are no people who would go out and drop their, you know, resignation letter, say, I cannot take this anymore. All cowards, you know, they care about their only mortgages and everything, you know, sometimes even not mortgages. Many of those people had for years such salaries and incomes that they paid off everything now. They could have gone and lived quietly after that. But at least they would perform themselves, you know, present themselves as the national heroes. No, not a single one. So they are all carrieries and corrupted utterly. And that's the same thing, which is Ukrainization of the American politics is complete now. United States, apart from being the extension of Israel, is now Ukraine 2.0. So, yeah, it is a very funny combination between Zionism and Ukrainization. Mr. Donahue, this general, he had friends in Ukrainian military. So the guy probably also drinks the Kool-Aid, this BS, propaganda BS, which his friends in Ukrainian military, you know what, feed him. So, and then you say, oh, why U.S. Army cannot win the war? Because it can't. It's not good. And so that's what it is. It's a part of military routine. And of course, it's the part of the larger in government, in terms of governance. So United States is governed horribly. In fact, is do we even have the now proper government? I don't know, in Washington, D.C. And the same goes for Ukraine. But then again, this is funny thing. It is a very interesting triangle, actually, you know, when you look at tentatively in terms of Ukraine, Israel, and Washington, D.C. It is a very interesting thing. It is like what tied with this, you know, series of forces which keep this together. And then, of course, Zelensky and Ukrainians, they wanted to hear how great they are and how Europe, NATO, and European Union are waiting for them. They bought this BS. They believed it. So what can I say? And it's utter collapse. And this all is the indication, a symptom of the general collapse of the Western civilization. In Europe, it pretty much collapsed already. Although there are some riots beginning to happen here and then, like Spain, you know, in dealing with the immigration, but it's too late because the poison have been introduced. It's spread and I'm on record. Well, obviously, I'm probably going to be dead by then. But the France probably not going to exist beyond 2050, and probably even earlier than that. The country is on the verge. South of France, it's not French. So Paris is not French city anymore. So well, they wanted it. What can I say? And the question is not that, French people, my French friends write me, oh, you are wrong, you know what, we didn't vote, they always find the excuses, you know. Well, maybe, but the point is, it is what it is with Europe, and yeah, the only thing is now is how to secure the remaining nuclear deterrent of France when the process of which are already happening. Disintegration will start, and after that, or maybe save Louvre, so before they turn it completely into the Sharia zone, and that's what French wanted.
Andre, since Donald Trump talked about 50 days and putting some sort of, I cannot have some sort of ultimatum for Russia, but looking at the situation, do we know if there was any sort of communication between the two parties, the United States and Russia, since then that Donald Trump was talking about 50 days that he's giving some sort of, I don't know, timetable he's putting on the table? Do we know about what does he want from in 50 days? Because Maria Zakharova, what she said today, she said that Kiev is avoiding another round of negotiations. It literally just disconnected the line of negotiations. So what does Donald Trump want in 50 days? I don't see anything happening. There is no negotiations between Ukraine and Russia. And what does that mean?
Oh, nothing. It's bloviation. It's, again, I don't know why 50. Why didn't he go for 55? It's a nice number too, you know? So in the same time, number 47 is good, but in the end, he could have gone to 61. If that would have been, it's a really nice sounding, 61 days, you know, not like 50. Well, that kind of is. Is he just what, pauper? And Zakharova reacts properly, but as I already stated, CIA and SVR do communicate. We know that. Mr. Naryshkin stated so much. But other than that, there's nothing to talk about. Talk about what? Mr. Lavrov met Mr. Rubio a few days ago at the BRICS summit in Brazil. You can see the video, they're talking, and Mr. Lavrov repeated the same thing which Russians were repeating since 2021. In another matter, the situation on the front changed dramatically. Mr. Trump wants to continue. Let him impose those sanctions and what have it. You know, Mr. Lavrov already stated 2 days ago during his press conference, yeah, we can handle that. They, again, they don't understand what Russia is. They are stupid, okay? They do not have this organ. You know, you have to develop this organ. It's a combination of culture, intellect, you know, ability to understand, you know, penetrate, and they don't. America doesn't have diplomacy as craft. There are no diplomats. There are all kinds of shysters which pursue whatever they, you know, they end up then discrediting themselves. The last real American diplomat was Joseph Byerly, you know, legendary Joseph Byerly, was the last true American diplomat who knew Russia. The guy fought for the Red Army, for crying out loud. Even Zhukov came to see him because, so he's a legend in Russia. I mean, so that was the real deal. The guy understood Russia. After that, I look at Michael McFaul. The guy is a certified imbecile. So yes, pretty much all Russia studies programs in the United States are fraud. So whenever you can hear it like, oh, I'm Russian expert, then they're morons. So, and as a result, I mean, Trump will continue to impose sanctions, which will continue to kill United States. They're not going to harm Russia. And sure, I mean, what can I say? United States needs to eat too, you know, and that this is how he understands, rather doesn't understand the international policy, politics. And so, but yeah, 50, 61, there's another good number. 72, that's really awesome. So yeah, let him proceed with that. What can I say, you know?
Yeah, We've learned that Russia protested Japan's participation in U.S. military drills near its borders. What does Japan, why do they need to be in that? Why, what is, I know that Japan somehow has the some sort of relationship with Russia, but how, when it comes to this sort of attitude on their part, what do they want from this sort of participation, in your opinion? Is that some force, the United States forced them to be part of that?
Oh no, United States definitely has a very serious input on the Japanese government, including the famous Northern Territories, which are, of course, Kuril Islands, which Russia not going to give up, so they better resign themselves to that. But the point is, yeah, this protest is the standard procedure, you know, like somebody starts there, some kind of maneuvers you send out, which is normal. But yeah, I mean, Japan is not a sovereign country. So, and actually, if you look attentively at what is happening there, I mean, they do retain some, very high-level technological competences, and their cars still are the best cars in the world, and things of this nature. And but the point is that they are not a free country, and this issue of the Kuril Island is basically financed and, you know, they're managed by the United States. They are afraid, they are, you know, scared crapless if somehow Japan and Russia sign the peace agreement. And then, of course, Japan suddenly, you know, and you see, that's the problem. Japan has no resources. It is the country which completely dependent on the shipping, and that is why they have the magnificent shipbuilding industry, even though it's in decline somewhat, but still. And they always have to have the deliveries to of everything, essentially. And what is interesting, they have Russia next to it, you know, and what Russia is. It's more than 30% of the whole world resources. They could have been rich, really. Many people see this, you know, like Ginza or whatever parts of Tokyo, you know, which are shiny, you know, neon lights and all that, you know, and those vending machines and all. Reality of Japan, if you look attentively beyond, you know, behind this facade of the high-tech economy, which cannot even produce their commercial airliner, is that there are actually hundreds of thousands of abandoned buildings, because their inheritance laws are such in Japan that you better not have your parents, you know, leaving your house, you know, because it will bankrupt you. And it's rather dull and, you know, unimpressive country, especially countryside, where the majority of people live. And so many people still believe that it's somehow, you know, this high-tech paradise. It's not. Their economy is struggling. And, of course, they could have secured, you know, they didn't, they still refused to exit their, what is the name of Korshun, or whatever the name of this large Ahotsk, Sea of Ahotsk oil drilling operation. The largest platform, drilling platform, is in there. I believe it's called Korshun. So it's the largest in the world, actually. And so they know all the United States pressed them. But yeah, United States presses everybody under its wing to commit suicide. And Europe already agreed. And they are committing suicide as we speak. Japanese, you know what? Shinzo Abe, his assassination. Yeah, God. It's that is why Vladimir Putin was actually honoring his widow. You know what? The guy wanted to really good relations with Russia. Well, guess what? He got assassinated. Some random guy, you know, has nothing to do with anybody. Yeah, so absolutely. He just decided to, you know, off the guy because it's like, you know what, Donald Trump asking Zelensky if he can hit Moscow. Well, I just asked. Sorry, I mean, so yeah. And unbelievable. These people are so, I mean, it's pathetic. It's the end of the world as we know it. And this is these are indication when you have this total moral, intellectual, whatever collapse, and you look at those people who represent it. Yeah, this is unbelievable. Unbelievable.
Andre.
Oh.
Can you, Andre, yeah. It seems that they know that when we look at Japan and South Korea, they somehow trying to be on the part of the United States, but they know the gravity of what's going on in the region. Yeah. They understand what's going on.
Absolutely, they do. Absolutely. Yeah. They are not stupid people by no means. But and they understand that actually this triangle, and its cultural triangle, is of course China, Japan, and South Korea. And Japan and South Korea and China, including, depend a lot on the resources which Russia can provide. And Russians saying and telling their international community, combined West, to go in pout sand and then breaking through their basically sanctions and boycott of Northern Korea is a strategic thing, you know, because in the end, the gravity lies with the incredible technological engineering expertise and capability lies with these four countries, Russia, China, Korea, and Japan. It's normal development of the Far East or Pacific community. And obviously in the United States are scared crapless of that because they will be excluded. And because they already have their, well, this record of being bullies, of being people who manipulate and kill those who do not follow their rules, and, you know, rules-based order. And so, yes, this is strategic thing. This is a long-term thing. And many people in Japan and South Korea understand implications and ramifications of all that, you know. So in the end, even both for South Korea and in Japan, to survive, they need to have the access to the resources. And they see now what is happening in the Middle East. And so where do you go with all that? Oh, my gosh. There is this largest country in the world there, sitting on the with the best army and the best armed forces in the world, and, you know, which can provide their, well, that's what happens with other people. They need to protection. And I should say, we're always ready, you know. So that's what was told to Pezeshkian, you know. That's what Vladimir Putin said. You want air defense, you want the, you know, cooperation military. He declined, but okay, so what can we do? So, but the point is, what is happening right now with North Korea is a signal. It's a strategic signal. And this is also the indication of what the process, which started not today, and not even yesterday. It is the process of the shifting of the economic pivot of the world, global world, from Europe, which most of Europe today is, it's not even serious to talk about it, shifting it to Asia and Eurasian continent. Europe will be left as this appendage, as this peninsula attached to the gigantic Eurasian landmass. And those huge players are there, you know. So another issue with India, obviously, it's a whole other story in itself, considering, you know, character of Indians and how they conduct business. But look at this. You have the, how many largest economies? China, India, Russia. Japan still is gigantic. And I'm in the order of, you know, in the descending order. What do you have in Europe? Only moron can believe that UK or France, they have these economies, you know, so because they count everything. You know, Europe also counts prostitution and drug trade as the part of the GDP. And GDP itself is the fake indicator. So you have the four largest economies in the world there. Can you imagine that? Oh, well, no. Yes. Okay. Just a second. India, Russia, China, Japan. Yeah. That's what you're going to do. And they dwarf, in combination, they dwarf combined West. Dwarf. It's not even funny, you know. Even when one considers that the whole American and European economies are basically embellished, you know. It's all bubble, you know. In reality, they are much smaller than they are reported. So yeah, there you go. That's simple as that. Geopolitics, practical geopolitics. Do you want to try to penetrate it and kill somebody there? Oh, you can kill Soleimani, for example, right? You cannot do anything to Russia because Russia can wipe out the West, I mean, from the face of the earth in 20 minutes. But we don't want to do that, you know? So West, Europe will be remain basically this, as Dostoevsky called it at some point of time, the cemetery under the open sea, you know, of open sky, you know, all those relics and cultural things of the ancient civilization. That's about it. Touristy place. So.
Thank you so much, Andrei, for being with us today. Great pleasure, as always.
My pleasure. Bye-bye. Bye.